The last couple of messages has been painting a picture to us of Christ and the sacrifice that he made for us. And it has been a challenge to me because I believe I have taken for granted, it's easy to take for granted, the price he paid. It's been so available to me. I've had it. But I've been thinking since she started the messages last week, I would like in my own life to start churning it over in my mind, refreshing the price he paid for me. Because you know, really, it affects my everyday living. This morning we heard a message about how he is interceding for us. And I can just, okay, that's a good message right there. But if I could really realize what that means in my everyday living and in the troubles that come to me, it's made me think of in my house in the kitchen, I've got several electrical plugs, outlets there. And they all have 110. If I put a meter into them, they have 110 volts on them. And I've got several appliances, probably all of us do. Maybe there's a microwave, maybe there's a toaster, maybe there's a blender. And none of those things work if I don't plug it in. These messages that we have heard are great messages. They're good to think about. But you know, they don't do me a whole lot of good if I don't tap into them. If I don't realize, you know what, there's a source for me that is available today, 2,000 years after he shed his blood, there's a source that's available to me. So what I would like to look at tonight is what it means to plug in, what it means to tap the source. And I'd like to start with a song. This song tells me what has happened when I have tapped into the source. Song number 31. If will you sing this with me. I found a refuge now from every sorrow, joy everlasting and sweet. I see this world with all its sinful follies conquered at my feet. Oh, blessed thought, my sins are gone, I lean on Jesus' breast. And while the storm without is madly raging, I have perfect rest. Oh, could you offer every earthly treasure, diamonds and pearls of the sea, then turning from them I would gladly whisper, Christ has set me free. Oh, blessed thought, my sins are gone, I lean on Jesus' breast. And while the storm without is madly raging, I have perfect rest. Far brighter than the shining stars above me, beaming with beauty and grace, adorned in heaven's majesty and splendor, is my resting place. Oh, blessed thought, my sins are gone, I lean on Jesus' breast. And while the storm without is madly raging, have perfect rest. That song is a testimony of being plugged in to the source that is able to help me. I found a refuge. So I was thinking for myself, for all of us tonight, what's it going to take for me to be able to tap the source in 2020? There is a word I'd like for us to look at tonight, and that word is yield. Yield. It says to submit, to comply with. And as I was driving to work the other day, I was on an on-ramp coming on to Broadway Extension, and there was a sign there that said yield. Yes. Sometimes we see a sign that says merge. You know, when that sign says yield, it's telling me you don't have the right of way. There's someone else that has the right of way instead of me. You know, tonight, there's someone else that has the right of way to my life instead of me. And you know, until I tap into that and realize that, I'm not really going to be able to be benefited by the power that is able to help us. I was thinking of yielding myself to God's will for my life. I would like for you to think of a picture for a little bit tonight of Abraham in Genesis 22. Genesis 22 and 1. Think of what this took. It came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, behold, here I am. And he said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell thee of. You know, we read that story of Abraham, old person, Sarah, an old person, to the point that she laughed when she heard the Lord say that she's going to have a son. But now they have this son. Life is good. And now it comes, I want you to go offer this child. You know, we don't have to do that today. And the Lord did not totally require that of him then. But we have some things that I'm going to need to yield to the Lord. I need to realize that, you know what, he is, he's got the right of way in my life. There's a couple verses in Romans, the 12th chapter, that tells me that. But you know, even though he's got the right of way, I have a choice of whether I'm willing to do it or not. Romans 12 and 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. This is yielding myself to him. There is another verse, 1 Corinthians 6. 1 Corinthians 6 and 19. That tells me again that I need to yield myself to him. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? Ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are his. What's the benefit that can come into my life from yielding to the Lord? You know, the world around would look at that and say, look at what all you will lose. You know what, if we could just take a look at what all I will gain when I yield to the Lord. Here's one of the things I'll gain, and I believe we heard it this morning. It is in John, the 14th chapter. This you cannot buy with money. John 14 and 27. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. This is when I yield myself to the Lord. Tap into the source that he wants to provide for me. That does not mean that everything is going to go well in my life. that I'm going to have everything that I want. There is, I was reading about it just recently. There is something that has been promoted for many years in the religious world, and it's called the prosperity gospel. And I thought, well, that's a neat little term, but is that really? And they said, oh yes, that has been taught in the past. You give your heart to the Lord and you will have wealth and you will have health and you go for it. And a lot of the ministers would be driving real nice vehicles and living lavish lifestyles. And they would say, you know, first thing you need to do is give. So naturally he's going to be the one that drives the nicest cars. But it was a prosperity gospel. And then I'd look in the Bible and I'd say, whoa, where did they find it? How am I going to tap into this source of who Jesus was expecting that? Because I'm not going to receive the help from the Lord that I need. But there's peace that I want to be able to have. There's a source that I can tap into, and I'd like to share that with you tonight. There's a verse in Philippians. You know, Paul had some mistakes in his life, but he came up with this. He said in Philippians 3:12-14, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forth to those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Yielding myself to the Lord and forgetting those things which are behind, failures that I may be had in my life in the past where the devil would say, you can never do better. No, I can lay those things aside and I can reach forth to those things which are before, and I'm pressing toward the mark of the prize. There is something that we can learn. There's another song I would like for us to look at. It is song number 202. I'd like for you to sing this one with me. This is something that there have been some people that have learned it. I want to be able to have it in my own life. I have learned the wondrous secret of abiding in the Lord. I have found the strength and sweetness of confiding in His Word. I have tasted life's pure fountain. I drinking of His blood, have lost myself in Jesus. I am sinking into God. I'm abiding in the Lord and confiding in His Word, and I'm hiding, safely hiding in the bosom of His love. I am crucified with Jesus, and lives and dwells in me. I have ceased from all my struggling, 'tis no longer I but He. All my will is yielded to Him, and His Spirit reigns within, and His precious blood each moment keeps me cleansed and free from sin. I'm abiding in the Lord and confide in His Word, and I'm hiding, safely hiding in the bosom of His love. All my cares I cast upon Him, and bears them all away. All my fears and griefs I tell Him, my needs from day to day. All my strength I draw from Jesus, by His breath I live and move. Even His very mind He gives me, and His faith and life and love. I'm abiding in the Lord, and confiding in His Word, and I'm hiding, safely hiding in the bosom of His love. For my words I take His wisdom, for works His Spirit's power. For my ways His gracious presence guards, guides me every hour. Of my heart He is the portion, of my joy the cease spring. Savior, sanctifier, keeper, glorious Lord and loving King. I'm abiding in the Lord, and confiding in His Word, and I'm hiding, safely hiding in the bosom of His love. You know, with that song, it tells me where I can live. But tonight what I would like to share with you is an example that was lived before me of someone that followed each of these verses. They learned the wonder secret of abiding in the Lord. They found the strength and sweetness of confiding in His Word. It says, all my will is yielded to Him and His Spirit reigns within. That's a neat little song. But I knew somebody that lived it in their life. And her life, I would like to be a challenge to each of us tonight. And that is Aunt Nelda. She has gone on to her reward. And you know what? We don't lift her up as a spiritual giant. All she did was plugged into the source. And she stayed plugged in and drew her strength from Him. Many of you will remember years ago when Uncle Ed was alive, he'd push her around everywhere she went in the wheelchair, caring for her. And I thought, that is great, that she's got someone to be there for her at a time in life when she needs it. Then one day he started getting sick and died. Yes. I looked at that and I thought, she's gone to the nursing home. She can't get around. Not got to have a wheelchair to even get around. But you know what? She was tapped into a source. Did the Lord heal her to where she was just as well as everybody else? Mm-mm. Didn't do it. But what He did was helped her to learn this wonder secret of abiding and confiding in the Lord. If she had a problem, she just took it to the Lord. It was like He was her best friend. In fact, He was more than that to her. I'd like for us to look at a verse, because she gave me this verse herself in Isaiah. This is what she took to be her own verse. Isaiah, the 54th chapter, 54 and 5. Thy maker is thy husband. You know, she just took that thing to be real. Okay, Lord, You took the husband that You had given me to take care of me. So, Lord, I'm going to claim You to be my husband. Yes. To be here with me in the times that I need You. and you will help me through these times that are out ahead. And she never, that I noticed, worried about the future. She did not look out at 20 years ahead, I'm going to probably be in this sad condition. No, what she just did was, here I am today, and I put today in the Lord's hands. Went out and bought her a van that was handicap accessible. Able to drive her little buggy up in there. She got to the place that she didn't have the strength to even push the gas and brake pedals. So she had a control put on where she could do everything by hand of driving. She's living alone. And one night she gets a call, a harassing call from a man, and she hangs up. But she starts having this man call her. He's calling her back, and she won't answer. And it's nighttime outside. And he says, when it goes to speakerphone, he says, "Nelda, pick up the phone. I know you're in there." Now, you think that would make the chills go up your spine? It would, if you had not learned a wonder secret of abiding in the Lord. When she told me that, I said, "That's it, Aunt Nelda." I said, "I'm going to take you to prayer meeting in nighttime. I'm going to walk your house with you when you come home. And I will help you to not have fear." She said, "Nope, I will not do it." She said, "I'm going to put my trust in the Lord." So she would drive home at night, and she said, "I won't even turn on the lights in the house. I'm taking my buggy straight back to my bedroom, get ready for bed, and leave everything in the Lord's hands." I have something. A little testimony from Aunt Nelda that I'd like to read to you. Because she had this confidence, the Lord's going to take care of me. No matter what happens, He will care for me. And this is a testimony that she gave, and Ron sent it to me a few days ago. It says, "One morning in August 2011, I noticed a large black dog lying on my front porch. Each time I would go past the window by the front door, I would check to see if he was still there. When the dog still had not left by afternoon, I offered him some food. He ate it, then he went back to his position on the front porch. A man came to check out a job I needed done. Before I could get to the door, the dog faced him growling, guarding the front door. As soon as I told him it was all right, the dog relaxed, but he kept his eyes on the man. When we went into the garage to look at the work needing attention, the dog positioned himself between me and the man, leaning against my scooter protectively. It's a mystery where the dog came from and why he chose my front porch. He was well fed and evidently well trained. He had no collar, no identification at all, so I had no way of finding his owner. I knew he was intelligent enough to return to his owner, and every day I expected to find that he had gone as suddenly as he had come. I named him Gideon, and I hoped that he would stay. I'm in a wheelchair. From the very first, you know, I now tapped into the source.
Yes.
Though the outward man perish, the inward man's not worried about what's going to happen.
Yes.
I'm in a wheelchair. From the very first, Gideon made his mission to keep check on me and protect me. He likes to keep me in his sight. My windows go to the floor, so it's possible for him to see me in whatever room I am. He usually lays down right under the window. Whenever I'm outside, he's right there beside my wheelchair. I soon realized what a blessing the Lord has sent me in Gideon. He seemed to know the boundaries of the property, and he stayed within them. He never woke me barking, even though there are woods and plenty of skunks, armadillos, raccoons, etc. to bark at. During the shorter days of winter, it's dark when I leave for night service as well as when I come home. It's a tangible evidence of God's care and watchfulness over me to see Gideon there waiting to greet me. He insists on coming in the house when I do. After quickly sniffing through the rooms, he then goes to the sliding door for me to let him out. Now, I found out that she assisted with that after a while because she would give him a chunk of chicken when he finished his patrol of the house. She said, I was on the back deck when the dog suddenly went to the corner of the house and barked a couple times before coming back and sitting down next to me. I hadn't heard a noise, but the dog had. I investigated and saw that a man was changing out the electric meter. The Lord miraculously healed me of the tormenting fear of being alone at night, and it comforted me, protected me. The 12 years since he took my husband. As I look at that and I say, you know what? If we will yield ourselves to the Lord, realizing there's someone else that has the right of way. He has the right of way, but he allows me whether I will allow him to take the right of way. Aunt Nelda did that. She plugged into the source and she was able to reap the benefits. There's a scripture that says, sometimes there could be angels unawares. And you know what? I believe an angel was sent to her in the form of a black dog. When she died, Ron was telling me that the dog went up in the closet, put his head in the corner, and we thought, his mission's over. I wonder if he's going to die. But he got up and is there with Ron and Irma now.
Yes.
You know, sometimes we have it all figured out. It's going to take this for God to take care of me.
Yes.
You ever read in the Bible all the stories that we used to read our children? And God usually worked in ways that I would have never thought of myself. He did it with her. Who would have ever thought the Lord's going to send you a dog? He's not going to be just a mangy old hound that doesn't want anything but some food. But he's going to be, this dog is going to be trained by somebody. He's waiting by your garage when you open the door to come in at night.
Yeah.
And he walks up to the back door of the garage. Now, what did she think when she opened that door and the dog went running in? How am I going to get rid of this thing now? He's up in the house. Goes to each of the rooms, checking it out. Now, you know, he probably wasn't near as scared as I would have been if I'd have gone in just to check it for her. But he went in, checked the whole house out, and back out again. We have a verse that says, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is. You know, Nelda took that verse serious. How many times when a camp meeting would come on, she would attend every service plus the prayer meetings in the morning. I remember some monarch times where I would hear the early morning prayer meeting bell ring and then just roll back over and go back to sleep. Not Aunt Nelda, getting her buggy and up the hill she would go to prayer meeting. So her desire was always to be there. And then one day, the day before Guthrie camp meeting was to start, she had gone to get some groceries and was getting out of her vehicle when somehow her speed control jammed, ran her up against the wall, and if I'm not mistaken, broke both legs. The day before camp meeting starts, she did not make it to one service of that whole camp meeting. Laid up in bed. Did she complain? It's just part of, God is going to be my husband. He's not allowing anything into my life that he has not already checked and is allowed to give to me. I was going to sing that song, but it has already been called and sung. Because to me, this is what Aunt Nelda practiced that week. Oh, be still, thou soul of mine. Thou art not forsaken. Here was what your desire was. You were ready to take out for early morning prayer meeting tomorrow. And you won't be able to do it at all And she just allowed God to do what he wanted to with her. Last year, 2019, almost exactly. In fact, her stroke was the morning after I had gotten home from India. And this time, I got the call in India that she had passed away this year. So almost exactly 1 year ago when the Lord sent something else into her life, a stroke that could have easily taken her out into eternity immediately, except it wasn't the plan of God for her. Why? I believe it was for me, for us, to be able to realize, you know what, some things can come into our life. And if we're tapped into the source, we can say, Lord, whatever your plan is for my life.
Yes.
I had been talking to Cheryl yesterday about Brother Veda when he had the accident and trying to think of what he had said. And Brother Lauren mentioned it this morning in the Sunday school lesson. Because years ago, Brother Veda was in an accident and he was broken up. And his desire was just send me home, busted up. They took him home and he's in all this trouble and pain, and he had a question for the Lord. It wasn't a question of why did you do this. His question was, Lord, what do you have in this for me? Now that's something. Lord, there might be something that you want to teach me through this time. And what he did was he yielded himself to the Lord. And I watched Aunt Nelda when the Lord allowed her to come back a little bit. But she's got days where she's not even able to tell you if she needs a drink of water or anything. Cannot communicate. You know how desperate that can make you in your mind of, I used to could talk. Now I can't communicate. But it was, she just let her God, his dear purpose, fulfill. And this is not about Aunt Nelda. This is about this plug that every one of us has an access to plug into. The grace that he has available for all of us, for me, for her. And we would have the times when she would come down and the request would be given. She would sure appreciate it if the Lord would help her to be able to communicate a little better. You know, she also had a desire that she had, was asking the Lord for. Lord, I'd sure appreciate it if you would not let me get down to where I can't completely take care of myself, to where I would need to go into a nursing home. Lord, I would appreciate it if you do this for me. And you know what? It seems to me like the Lord just summed up her life of yielding to him and then poured her out a blessing that caused her to go when none of us expected that she would go. There is, for each of us tonight, I can mar that same connection that he would like to have in my life. I'd like to look at a verse in Galatians because this has been a challenge to me. We don't have to look in the Old and New Testament. We can find lives around us, a great cloud of witnesses of people that tapped into the source and yielded themselves to the Lord. Lord, whatever you want to do in my life. This one here is something that can keep me from being able to tap to the source. Galatians 2 and 21. I do not frustrate the grace of God. That is quite a little piece of a verse right there. The grace is like what's the electric that wants to flow from that plug to me. But you know what? I can stop the flow. I can frustrate the grace of God that was going to flow into my life. You know what? None of us are going to be able to go through the trials the way the Lord wants us to without his grace. He didn't desire us to be strong enough to go through them without calling on him for grace. And it's possible for me to frustrate that grace that was available for me. And there's another verse in 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15 and 10. By the grace of God, I am what I am. His grace, which was bestowed upon me was not in vain. Now that's another verse. Grace was available. It was bestowed on him. But you know, it can be in vain to me if I don't yield myself to the things that he puts in my life. But Paul says it wasn't in vain in his life. He allowed that grace to help him. And is it, so do we check Paul's life and say, well, yeah, he didn't have any troubles come to him. No, he had more troubles than most people will in their lifetime. But he tapped into a source of grace for his life. And we can each one do that today. Here's a verse in Hebrews. Let us therefore come boldly. Hebrews 4. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace. 4 and 16. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. This boldly to the throne of grace isn't telling the Lord, you've got to do this. This is me coming up to that merging lane and realizing, you know what, I don't have the right of way. There's somebody else that has the right of way. I'm only merging in. And when we talk about spiritual things, it's God that has the right of way in my life. Now, I can refuse to give it to him. You know, I can refuse to honor that sign when I'm merging and just say I'm going on in anyhow. And I'll suffer for it in my life. You know what? I'm going to suffer for it if I don't yield myself to the Lord. I can do it myself. But there's going to be some things come to me that are bigger than I can handle. And I need him to be able to help me. So this says, let me come boldly to the throne of grace. Folks, we need grace in our lives for the things that come to us. The troubles that we will face, Aunt Nelda tapped into the source of grace. Because did she have no trouble? No, she saw her health declining. She saw it get worse and worse and had to have wondered, what does the future hold for me? But she just turned to the one that she knew held the future. There is another song, and I'd like to just look at a verse. I believe this would have been her song. It could be our song. Number 55. O sweet will of God, thou hast girded me round. You know what that verse is really saying? Lord, all those things that you have sent into my life are part of your plan for me. That's your sweet will. And it says, that third verse, and now I have flung myself recklessly out, yielded myself to the Lord like a chip on the stream of the infinite will. I passed the rough rocks with a smile and a shout, and I just let my God, his dear purpose, fulfill. That's yielded there. That's tapped into the source then. I just allow God to do whatever he wants in my life. Then it says in the fourth verse, forever I choose the good will of my God. It's holy deep riches to love and to know. I'm making a choice in my life. I'm choosing to yield myself to the Lord. And it's not just, okay, Lord, you send good things into my life. I'm going to yield myself to you. I found this verse in over in Habakkuk, the third chapter, and then the 17th verse. What about if when troubles come into my life, is it different than just when everything is going well? 17th verse says, although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, the fields shall yield no meat, the flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. Things have turned around for me, and I don't see anything that's going well. You know, that reminds me of Job. In one day, about all of this could apply to Job. He lost the temporal things that were given to him. Although those things happened, what was his response? The Lord gave, the Lord hath taken away. That's yielding to the Lord. That's tapping into this source that the Lord would like for all of us to do. The Lord gave it, the Lord hath taken it away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So although all of these things shall be gone, You remember how Satan said, I tell you what, you take all these things and he'll curse you to your face. Is that what this verse in Habakkuk is saying? No. When all this happens in the 18th verse, it says, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. And I watched Aunt Nelda do that. As things left her as far as health, she still did not lose that peace between her and the Lord. She had a relationship knowing, no matter how much this goes away, when she could do nothing for herself, she was totally relying on others. She still just committed it to God. Lord, help us all to be able to find the secret of yielding myself to the Lord. When the things that come into my life that I cannot change, I would love to have them different and they do not change. Lord, help me to yield to you. Help me to say, Lord, I choose you in my life. There's another verse, song number 436. Thy gracious will shall ever be the object of my heart. Lord, whatever you want in my life that would help me make it to heaven, that is what I want it to be. Now, you know, we have a choice of how we yield. We're going to yield to something. There is a verse that I'd like to close with, because we've got eternity out ahead, and it's going to be determined by how I yield myself, what I yield myself to. In Romans, in the 6th chapter, and then the 12th verse, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Now here goes yielding. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. And then there's a verse on down in the 16th. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or obedience unto righteousness. And then it says in the 19th verse, I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and iniquity to iniquity, just like back when we're living in sin, we did some yielding then. We yielded to what Satan wanted for us. Even so now, yield your members, servants, to righteousness, unto holiness. We have a choice that we make throughout life. I'm going to yield to something. And maybe this yielding is not going to be just outright sin. But you know what? I can yield to unwillingness to accept God's will in my life. Or I can yield to, Lord, I choose what you send into my life, because I believe at the end of it, your desire is that I make heaven my home. Yes. I am thankful for the example that she set for me. But you know what? She's not a monument. What she did was just tapped into the source. Yes. And left us an example. If we will tap into the source, we can have the same victories in our life. I desire your prayers.